Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in.
Welcome to Washington, D.C., home of the White House, the Capitol, and this building, our country's library, the Library of Congress. In here, there are books on everything from dinosaurs to galaxies in space. But that's not all. It's full of treasures. And today, we're going on a treasure hunt.
When it started 200 years ago, the Library of Congress was a small place where people in government kept their books. Now, it's the biggest library in the world. You can find science fiction films, antique books, and even maps made out of seashells and driftwood. Every day, hundreds of people come to use the library. So to make sure everyone gets their chance, you don't check anything out. You look at it here. Today, we're being treated to a private, behind-the-scenes look at some of these treasures kept here at the Library of Congress. In some ways, this library is like the one in your hometown. You can look up books in the card catalog or on a computer. And you still fill out a call slip for the librarian. But how you get books here is a whole different story. Hi.
Hi. Can you see?
Thanks. When you ask for a book in this library, you know it'll do some traveling. But if you think this book took a trip, wait till you see what happens to the boy inside. The book is Alistair in Outer Space. And it all begins when Alistair Griddle sets out one day for the library.
Alistair in Outer Space. By Marilyn Sadler. Illustrated by Roger Bolan. Read by Arnold Stang. Alistair Griddle was a sensible boy. Every day he made a list of the things he had to do. Then he made a list of the things he did not have to do. He was always on time for school. The school clock was set by Alistair's watch. Alistair took especially good care of library books. He washed his hands before he read them so that he would not smudge the pages. And he always returned them to the library on time. One day, when Alistair was returning his books to the library, something unusual happened. He was picked up by a spaceship and whisked off into space. Two creatures who call themselves Goots were flying a spaceship. They were from a planet known as Gootula. They were very friendly. The Goots liked Alistair very much and wanted to take him home with them. Alistair thanked the Goots, but he did not want to go to Gootula. "My library books are due back today," he said. "The librarian will be expecting me." The Goots pretended not to hear Alistair and continued on their way. After a very short time, they landed on a planet they thought was Gootula. Then they realized that it was not Gootula, it was Trollobob.
"We must have made a wrong turn," said the Goots.
The Goots were very sorry. Back on the spaceship, there was nothing for Alistair to do but read his library books again. But when he went to look for a place to wash his hands, he opened the wrong door. The next thing Alistair knew, he was in outer space. "Now I will never get my books back to the library," he said. The Goots soon noticed that Alistair was missing, and they turned their ship around. When they found Alistair, he was showing the Trollobobbles his library card. The Trollobobbles wanted to take Alistair to Trollobob, but he explained that he had just been there. So the Trollobobbles gave Alistair back to the Goots. The Goots continued to search for Gootula, but they could not find it anywhere. Alistair looked at his watch. It was getting late. He was gonna have to pay a library fine. Alistair could not look for Gootula any longer. He insisted that the Goots take him home. This time the Goots agreed. They had never seen Alistair quite so upset. Alistair did not think that the Goots would be able to find Earth. So he decided to fly the spaceship. It was not very long before Alistair spotted Earth in the viewer. Then Alistair let the Goots take over while he gathered up his books. He was very much relieved when they finally landed on Earth. Although it was late, he was quite certain there would still be time to get to the library. Now that he was home. Home?
If Alistair and the Goots had had a map, they might not have landed at the North Pole. Well, here in the geography room, there are maps, globes, and charts to help you find your way almost anywhere, from your own neighborhood to the craters of the moon. And here's Dick Stevenson, a guy who really knows his way around a map.
Hello, LeVar.
Hiya, Dick. Now, Dick, tell us, why did people first begin to make maps?
Well, people have always wanted to know where they are, and they wanted to make maps of their area, where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
Maps are sometimes drawn in just the sand. Other times they're painted on the walls of caves. They even drew them in clay, such as this.
Hmm.
This is a little clay tablet made about 4,000 years ago.
Well, what are the little figures here?
This is cuneiform. Cuneiform is picture writing.
Hmm.
This represents a small parcel of land.
Are there special materials that one needs to make a map?
No, a map can be drawn or painted on any kind of material. Cloth, it can be painted on a paper, it can be painted on... Well, as a matter of fact, we have a map here that is an Eskimo map, which is actually sealskin. These are pieces of driftwood that have been sewn onto the sealskin by this Eskimo, and it represents an area just off the coast of Greenland. These are islands. Mm-hmm. And they have sailed all of this area for hundreds of years, and therefore they are able to make a very accurate map of their islands. Mm-hmm. However, if you're dealing with a much larger area, let's say like the whole world, for instance,
right,
your map may be in the form of a globe. This is a Betts portable globe. Here's one. And you can collapse it, a portable, and you can carry it much easier. You don't have to worry about breaking it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, globes sometimes are very tiny. Mm-hmm. For instance, here's an example of a 1-inch globe.
Oh, wow. Because this globe is so small, does that mean it's any less accurate than a globe that's maybe 5 or 6 times its size?
No, it's accurate. It just doesn't have as much information. The larger the globe, of course, the more information that you can put on it.
Right.
But maps are also, of course, as you know, we've talked about them being drawn on paper and so forth, mm-hmm. but they're also drawn on cloth.
Oh, really?
Now, this is an example of a cloth map made during World War II,
mm-hmm.
and used it on rubber rafts in case you were shipwrecked. You could get this wet, and it wouldn't hurt the map at
really?
All.
Really? Now, what if, like Alistair, I was out in space, and say I got moon-wrecked? What would I use then?
Well, we actually have a moon globe.
Ah.
Here's one right here.
Ah, so this is what the moon really looks like, huh?
Yes. This is a globe of the moon showing both the near side and the far side of the moon.
Now, we were able to get so accurate because now we've been to the moon.
That's right. We've had missions that have flown around the moon and photographed it.
So it's only been very recently that we've had such an accurate representation of the moon, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, I imagine years ago people had some pretty wild ideas about what the moon looked like. Where can we go to see some of those, Dick?
Well, the best place to go would be to the film library. Let me draw you a map, LeVar.
Oh, great idea.
Right there at the X.
When you're ready, just hit that button, LeVar.
Thanks, Kathy. This is where our nation keeps a copy of almost every film that's made. Film students can even find classics, like this one, about a trip to the moon. It's one of the very first science fiction films, and it's almost 100 years old. Great film. Kathy, how do I rewind this?
I'll take it, LeVar.
Oh, thanks. You know, there's so much to discover in libraries. But one of the best discoveries is librarians. They know where everything is and how to find it. And they're always willing to lend a helping hand.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'd like to get... Well, I have one. It's my brother here who needs a library card.
Have you ever had a library card?
No.
All right, a new library card. Then you'll have to speak to Mr. Conan.
Conan?
Yes, Conan, the librarian.
You are the librarian?
So I am. and so shall I be. What manner of quest brings you to this, my kingdom?
A library card?
The card? The card of library? Aha! First, you must be shown worthy of the card. Follow. Now, you must prove your devotion to the ancient texts, for it is said, books are written to be read. Reveal to me the name of the last one you've studied.
Well, you know, it's been vacation, so I haven't really gotten into reading any.
What?
Charlotte's Web?
And why do you seek possession of the sacred card?
I was hoping you'd tell me.
A wise answer. We must begin with the quests and adventures of the ages. The writings of the sage, Robert Louis Stevenson. Kidnapped. Treasure Island. Sagas of pirates and wild beasts. The work of the Lady Madeleine L'Engle. A Wrinkle in Time. Have you courage for this, boy?
I think so.
But I fear for your strength. What if you're called bookworm or such? Bah! You would crumble. You are but a mere boy.
No, Conan, no. I can handle it. I'm small, but I'm tough.
So I am beginning to see. Come with me. Prepare to receive the gift of the sacred card. Your name?
Jerome Clark.
Heed well these words, Jerome. The sacred card of library is about to become yours. Trust not in men, nor in beasts, but only in this. May it serve you well. May it unlock to you the kingdom of books. Learn their power. Tremble before their wisdom, and never bring them back. Overdue.
I will. I mean, I won't. You may trust in me, Conan.
Prepare to choose your books.
Are you finally finished? You took long enough.
Cease, sister. You speak now to the possessor of the sacred card. Before you, behold these, my first books.
Your card.
Good stories last forever, but the books they're written in don't. Books need to be taken care of and treated with love. And when a Library of Congress book needs repair, it gets special treatment. It takes a trip to the cleaners and comes home good as new.
Now, this is an early American music book. One of the first steps in repairing a book is to actually wash it in water. In a few minutes, the dirt will actually begin to come out all around the leaf. A leaf is a page of a book, and it takes a lot of leaves to make up a book. Hi, I'm Tom Albro, head of the Rare Book Conservation Section of the Library of Congress. And our job is to fix and repair books. Barbara.
Hi, Tom.
Barbara's in the process of mending the leaf from a book that's torn its edge. And could you tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
Yes. I'm in the process of checking the fit of the tear, and I can see that it's going to join up very nicely. So once I get this in position, I'm going to take one of these strips that I've torn from this Japanese tissue, and I'm going to paste it out very slowly and then position it along this torn edge. It will give a nice finished look and the mend will seem to disappear into the paper.
Once we fix the pages, we have to sew them back together again. The books are made up of sections. That's a series of folded pages. And Pam is right now sewing each section back together again. We have to be careful that we don't use too thick a thread, because if we do use a very thick thread, the back of the book would be thicker than the front of the book. The frame that she's using is a sewing frame, and it's a machine that's been in use for about 1,800 years and really has largely remained unchanged. It's one of the best methods for sewing a book by hand that is in existence today. This is a piece of vegetable tan goat skin, and we've selected this skin to do the covering for the book. It's very, very nice to work with. This is probably one of the most satisfying aspects of bookbinding, is to cover a book in full leather. Now the next step, to take a piece of cotton which has been wet and to very lightly apply that wet cotton to the skin. If you don't wet it, it would be very difficult to shape it the way you want to. I then apply the paste to the leather so that it saturates the skin, because if you don't, the leather might not stick. Now we have to very carefully place the book in position on the skin. Then we bring the other side over and we begin to mold the leather right over the bands that you saw us sewing on the sewing frame. The next process that we're going to go to is gold tooling, and we're going to put a title right here in the spine of this book. Glenn, you want to tell us what's involved?
Well, first, I have to press very hard with a hot tool into the leather to make a sharp impression. I have to do this for each letter. This is gold leaf. It's pounded very, very thin. It's thinner than paper. This gold, being so thin, wants to fly all over the place and will stick to anything. It's very important to have a steady hand and to keep the tools very straight so that the letters are not tilted. I take this rubber eraser, it's a special gold rubber, and wipe off the gold. And we have a finished book.
As you've seen, a lot of effort goes into repairing books at the Library of Congress. And now that we're finished, caring for these books is up to you.
Believe it or not, this is a book. But so is this. Big or little, it doesn't matter. It's what's inside that counts. So if you liked Alistair in Outer Space, then here are some other books to try on for size. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, my name is Claude White, and I just read an interesting and informative book called Maps and Globes. If you like to travel to new and exciting places, this book would be a big help. I learned a lot of interesting facts in this book. Maps have a language all their own. You can learn about latitude and longitude and the depths of the ocean. The pictures in the book are very colorful. Did you know that there were more mountains and volcanoes under the water than there are on land? If you're one of those people who gets lost a lot, then catch the bookmobile when it's in your neighborhood and check out Maps and Globes.
Hi, my name is Jay Scott. Are you interested in space travel and aliens? Well, if you are, you'll love this book, Commander Toad in Space. Commander Toad is bright and brave, brave and bright, and he has a very unusual crew. The characters in the story remind me of all the space movies I've seen. Do any of these names sound familiar? Mr. Hop, the deep thinker, and Jake Skyjumper. The ship Starwart's mission is to go where no spaceship has ever gone before, to bring a little bit of Earth to the unknown galaxies. You know, Commander Toad is not just one book, but a series of books. You can read them all. I know I will.
Hi, my name is Molly Mandlin. Did you know that there's a place right in your neighborhood that's filled with treasures? It's the library, and you can learn about it in this book. Go check it out. Some of the treasures you can find are books. There are all different kinds of books in the library. Fiction or nonfiction, stories and adventures, science books and history books, and even biographies. Some people don't know, but you can borrow toys and puzzles from the library. You can also find computers in the library, but you can't take them home. Libraries are great places because you can have fun and learn a lot, too. So go to your library and check it out.
No matter where you go in the Library of Congress, you'll always find something new. But that's true of any library. The one in your hometown is full of treasures just waiting to be discovered by you. So, go on your own treasure hunt. If you have a library card, then use it. And if you don't, then get one. It's what every explorer needs. We'll see you next time.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Alistair in Outer Space by Marilyn Sadler, illustrated by Roger Bolin, published by Prentice Hall Incorporated. Maps and Globes by Jack Knowlton, illustrated by Harriet Barton, published by Thomas Y. Kroll. Commander Toad series by Jane Yolen, illustrated by Bruce Deegan, published by Coward McCann Incorporated. Check it out. The Book About Libraries by Gail Gibbons, published by Harcourt Brace Jovanovich.